please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, page 220 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 4, page 221. We'll begin with verse 27 and read through verse 31. The text verse is the 29th verse, Deuteronomy 4, 27 through 31, and may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, and together also in verse 31, please. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. We must pray. Father, we, of course, are grateful for this opportunity to once again to be in this special place. Thank you for our church. Thank you for these, our many friends who gather here. We feel like a family. We pray that thou wouldst minister now to the needs of this, our family, and bless our preacher as he leads us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here we are again. Basically the same people, same preacher, same place, same book, with a new truth, no, an old truth, that we have come as we have been panning for scriptural gold. We come with a truth new to many of us, but always in the heart and mind of God. Speak thou to our hearts tonight and do something real in this hour. Amen. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, just in case you backslide. I'd like for you to focus your attention this way. It'll be, and I'm serious, I hesitate to say this because this is always, or usually, the introduction for an hour and a half sermon, but I'll be brief tonight, and nobody believes me when I say that, but this is Lord's Supper night, and we are behind schedule. I'll be brief for me. For those of you who are visitors, it'll not be brief for you, but it'll be brief for our folks. I think that there are many sincere people who backslide, who want to come back to God, and make a sincere attempt to come back to God, but who fail in that attempt. And I'm going to show you tonight the main reason that they fail. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's in his sin and glad about it, not going to turn from it. I'm talking about somebody who's been away from God, who's been in sin, been away from the will of God and the plan of God, who sincerely wants to come back. Well, I could name dozens of people who have bowed and prayed with me and asked God to forgive them, and promised God they were coming back. And they came even to church and walked the aisle and knelt at the altar. And yet, in just a few weeks or months, back in the same old septic tank of sin. But I think they were sincere. I think they wanted to get right. And I think they meant to get right, but I think they made one basic mistake. And I'm talking to folks tonight, all over this room. You're not what you used to be. You know that. There's something between you and God tonight, and you know that. And you're sincere, and you want to get back where you once were. And you try even to get back, but somehow or other, you just don't get back where you once were. Would you please listen carefully and let me tell you why tonight? In our text tonight, the Lord speaks to his people. And I read from this one verse. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In this chapter, in this passage, God is supposing the possibility of his people going into sin. Now, at this particular time, they were not in sin, as we count a backslidden condition. But as God speaks to them about their future, he realizes the possibility that they could go into sin. And he says, now, if you ever do go into sin and backslide, this is what I want you to do. Now, he imagines them away from the land. In fact, he mentions that here. He says, you'll be scattered. He imagines them away from the land. He imagines them out of the will of God. He imagines their influence is gone. He imagines their opportunity has gone. He imagines that their usefulness has gone. He imagines that their power has gone. He imagines that their joy has gone. And God says, now, when it happens, out yonder in the future. Now, there's some folks tonight who, in this room, you're backslidden. I don't mean you're in deep sin, but I mean you're not what you once were. But there are others tonight, as far as you know, you're in the perfect will of God, in the center of that perfect will, and you're doing your best to serve him, love him, read your Bible regularly, you pray, you walk with God, you win souls, you're doing what you can to do what God wants you to do. But the truth is, none of us is immune from backsliding. We're all potential backsliders. And so God says, now, I want to tell you something. If you ever are in this position, here is what you do. Now, I want you to notice first what God did not say to do. Now, listen carefully, because this is worth hearing. God did not say, when you backslide, get back where you used to be. Didn't say that. Not one word in this passage about a backslider. God saying to a backslider, if you want to come back from backsliding, get back where you used to be. There's not one word here about God saying, get back in my will. Not a word about that. Are you listening? Not a word about that. God does not say here, if you ever backslide, I want you to get back in my will. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say here, I want you to get back to the heights where you were. He doesn't say it. He doesn't say, if you ever do out yonder backslide, I want you once again to climb up to the heights that you once enjoyed and find the place you used to be. For that matter, he didn't say, I want you to seek the old power that you once had. No word about that. God is looking in the future and saying to his people, the day may come when you leave me. The day may come when you backslide. Now, he did not say to them, come back where you were. He did not say to them, come back to my will. He did not say to them, come back to the old opportunity. He did not say, come back to the old power. He did say, if you're backslidden, the thing I want you to do, seek me. Seek me. Seek me. You see, your first contact with God was seeking him. You came to Christ. You didn't walk down the aisle and get saved by receiving the will of God. You didn't walk down the aisle and get saved by climbing to certain heights. You walked down the aisle and you got saved by an acceptance of a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from that person and your acceptance of him came the will of God, came the joy of God, came the power of God, came the opportunities for service for God. But the first thing you did was accept the person. You see, you don't try to get back what you lost. You try to get back whom you lost. For backsliding is not leaving the will of God. It's leaving the God of the will. Backsliding is not leaving your opportunity for service. Backsliding is leaving your fellowship with your Christ. So God comes along here and says, now if you ever do, go into deep sin. Don't try to... He didn't say, come back to my will. He didn't say, come back to my purpose. He didn't say, get back where you used to be. He didn't say, come back to my plan. God says, get back to me. Get back to me. You see, When you come back to God, and by the way, this is why some of you didn't get back. You mean to get back, but you didn't get back because you tried to get back where you were, but you didn't try to get back whom you had. And because you wanted to get back to the usefulness you once had, bypassing the fellowship you once had. You wanted to get back to the position you once had, bypassing the relationship you once had. Now, you don't start where you left off. You start where you started before. Did you hear me? I say you don't start where you left off. If you're away from God and you backslid into that, you know who you are. And by the way, let's face it. I mean, don't build a facade over it. Face the thing like a child would. Boy, I know. You've been a Christian all these years now, and you teach a Sunday school class, or you sing in the choir, or you are an usher, or you are on the church staff. Okay, now just forget that and come tonight as a little child and say, I've wandered from God. And God says, if you ever do, He said, if you suppose you ever do backslide, He said, come back to Me. You see, you originally started by coming to Him. You must start again the same way. You say, I want God to use me again. No. That comes later. Right now, you get back to God. But you say to the house, I want to be what I used to be. No. That's not the way back out of backsliding. You come back to God. But you say to the house, I want to have what I used to have. No. You missed it. That's not the way you get back to God. You come back to Him. You see, backsliding is broken fellowship with a person, and that person is Almighty God. Now, the opportunities that come through that fellowship are byproducts. But the relationship is what causes your backsliding or your being spiritual. You are as spiritual as is your relationship with God. Now, you serve God because of that relationship. So God says, if I chunder in the future, you're in some foreign land scattered on the mountains of Judea, or out in the land of Babylon, out yonder somewhere in captivity, or if you're away, if you someday are way out yonder, away from My land, away from God's chosen land for you, you ever find yourself backslidden. God said, He didn't say a word about coming back to the will of God. He said, get back to Me. But you say, preacher, I want to get back where I was. No, that isn't it. You don't get back where you were, you get back whom you had. You come back to God, you come back to Him. You say, preacher, I want the influence I once had when I walked with God. I've lost my testimony, and I want my influence back. No. The influence came because of relationship. What you ought to say is, I want my relationship back. Don't run back to your influence. Don't run back to God's will. Don't run back to your previous position. Don't run back to what you once were. Don't run back to what you once had. You run back to your Savior and fall at His feet and say, dear Jesus, I've sinned, and I ask You to forgive me, and I come back to You. And it is He who will give you back whatever degree of influence He thinks you ought to have. And it is He that will give you back whatever degree of opportunity He thinks you ought to have. But you'll never come back from your backslidden condition until you come back to Him. He said, seek Me. If you'll seek Me with all your heart and all your soul, if you'll come back and seek Me diligently. And by the way, we have folks, I'm sure, every Sunday night, kneel at this altar, don't get this. You come back and say, oh, God, use me again. Nope. I'm sorry, you missed the boat. Oh, God, give me back my power. Nope. You missed the boat. Oh, God, take me back to my usefulness. Nope. You missed the boat. You come back and say, God, take me back to Yourself. Take me back to Yourself. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love You, my Jesus is now. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're back sitting tonight, you don't need an opportunity yet. Come back to Jesus. He's the author of opportunities. You come back to Him. God said, if there's ever a day, Israel, when you drift away from Me, My word is no longer a fire in your bones. My mercy seat, my throne of grace is no longer a great privilege and joy. And My service is no longer your portion. And my will is no longer your lot in life. He says, forget the will. Forget the service. Forget the position. Come back to Me. Back to Jesus. Back to Bethel I must go. Back to the joy life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling and I must go. You recall the story, don't you? When Jacob left the will of God for 20 years, was in Haran, outside the will of God for his life. You recall the story how that the call kept, come back to Bethel, come back to Bethel, come back to Bethel, which means the house of God. Beth meaning house, El meaning God. Come back to Bethel, come back to Bethel, come back to the house of God, come back to the house of God. And Jacob finally one day went back to Bethel, and there he made it right with God and made it right with his brother, his heart, with his brother. And Jacob made it right, and Jacob said, I'm going to call this place not Bethel, but El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. And that's what you need. You don't need the will of God. You need the God of the will of God, and He'll bring you the will of God. You don't need the power of God when you're backslidden. You need the God of the power of God, and He'll arrange for the power of God. You don't need the influence you once had back. You need the God you once had back. And many of you have come back and knelt to this altar or knelt somewhere alone and said, God, I'm coming back to Your will. Oh, no, say, I'm coming back to Yourself. I'm coming back to Your person, dear God. I'm not saying you should not get back in His will, but you'll never get back in His will if you get back in His fellowship. And you'll never get back in His power if you get back in His fellowship. And so tonight, if you're the slightest bit away from what you once were, if the Bible's not fresh and exciting, if prayer is not an opportunity for fellowship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if the church house is not a delight and the songs of God don't bless your soul, and you've drifted away from God and out in some sin, maybe you get on your knees tonight and say, Jesus, I come back to You out of my sickness and sorrow and night. Jesus, I come into Thy mercy and into Thy life. Jesus, I come to Thee. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. You see, you started with Him, and from Him came the rest. You must not bypass that same source on the way back. Try to come back to the influence, you'll be disappointed. Come back to the Savior, He'll give you back influence. Try to come back to the power, you'll be disappointed. Come back to the Savior, He'll make available one day that same power for you. Come back to usefulness, you'll be disappointed. Come back to the Savior, He'll give you a degree of usefulness later. Come back to Him, and you'll not be disappointed. Come as a child. Don't listen. Here's the problem. You see, you've matured all through these years, and you've grown up. You know, churches like this are filled with great Christians who are not right with God in their fellowship. Christians who study the Bible. Christians who are matured. But see, you have grown so far, you're too big for the altar anymore. You're too big for the mourner's bench. You don't need that. That's these young folks. That's for new Christians. You don't need the altar anymore. You see, you're too big. And if you don't watch out, you'll never get right with God because you won't come back like a child as you came the first time. You're too mature for that. No, you're not. I don't care. The oldest person in this house needs the mourner's bench when he's away from God. And the richest person in this house needs the mourner's bench when he's away from God. And the most educated person in this house needs the mourner's bench when he's away from God. You, listen, if you're not in God's fellowship tonight, if you've wandered from God and into sin, get on your face before God like a child would. And say, oh, Jesus, I have sinned and I come back to You tonight. And have that fellowship with Him restored. That's your problem. You go through the motions, don't you? But the fellowship with Him is broken. I mean, professionally, you're a good Christian. You own a Scofield Bible. You know about the rapture. You know about the doctrine. You know about prayer. You can pray a good prayer, especially if somebody's listening. And you're a mature Christian. And there was a day you grew and grew and grew and grew. Now, you backslide, but the pride of the position you once had, the relationship you once had, you're not willing to come and throw yourself at the altar and say, dear Jesus, I come back to You. I've sinned. I've come back to You. Remember the story of Peter? One day, some fellows were fishing, and they weren't catching anything. They toiled all night and caught nothing. A strange man came out, and he said, cast your nets on this side. And they said, don't you tell us where to cast our nets. We've worked here all of our lives. Our father's in this business. We're following our father in the fishing business. We know every drop of water in this lake. Don't you tell us. Well, he said, cast your nets on the other side. They said, sir, we don't know who you are, but we fished enough here to know all are fishermen, and you're not one of them. He said, cast your nets on the other side. Okay, we'll do it. And they put a net on the other side. and the net broke, and there was a great, great ingathering of fishes. And Jesus said, "Follow me," and they left all and followed him. And Peter and his brother Andrew became rabid followers of Jesus Christ. But with the passing of time, Peter grew and became, by the way, he became the top of all the apostles. He was the first listed apostle in every list in the Bible. And yet, there came time for Jesus to go to Calvary. And Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying. And then Jesus goes to Calvary, and somebody asked Peter, said, "Peter, are you one of those?" He said, "No, I'm not one of those." "Well, your speech betrays you. Don't you belong to him?" "I don't belong to him." "Well, yeah, but listen, you sound like you're one of those." And he cursed and swore and denied the Lord. A few days later, in his resurrection body, Peter was out fishing again, but back where he used to be. The Lord Jesus came and he said, "Sir, you catching anything?" He said, "Dirty breaker, back up, back along about watch that rip. Haven't caught a thing all night long." I know what he said. "I fished all night and haven't caught anything." And Jesus said, "Now, put your net over here." Well, he said, "I don't think I need to. I know this lake better than you do." Jesus said, "Put your net over here." And Peter put his net over there. And all of a sudden, 156 fish came in. And Peter said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And he put on his clothes. And he said, "It's the Lord." And Jesus went over and fixed him some breakfast. And they had breakfast together. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. That's what you need. I long for some of you people who've been in this church for 15, 20, and 25, 30, and 35, and 40 years. I long for you to come back to the sweetness of a little child's fellowship with his daddy. I long for you to realize that it's not to get back where you were. It's not to get your influence back, but get your fellowship back. You say, "I don't have to walk down the aisle to an altar." But the fact that you say that means you need to. I'm not saying the altar is a place you have to get right with God, but I'll tell you what. You have to come as a child and say, "Dear Jesus, it's you I want." Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. I constantly pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I'd rather be a good Christian than a good preacher. I want to love You. And I want You to know I love You. As Spurgeon used to pray, "Dear Jesus, help me to love You so much that when I say I love You, Jesus, You'll say, 'I know it, Charles. I know it, Charles.' More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee." And that's why you didn't get back where you used to be. And that's why tonight you're floundering in sin away from God. Why? You tried to come back to where you were, but it's whom you had. That's what you need. Come back to Jesus tonight. Come back to Jesus tonight. Come back to the cross and look up at the face of Jesus like a little child would, or like you did when you first came to Christ and said, "Jesus, it's been a long time since I knelt here. Many a Bible study has come and gone. Many a sermon has gone through these ears and through this mind. And many a Sunday school class I've taught. Many a time I've read the Bible reading. But Jesus, I know and You know, I'm not as close to You. I've tried to get back to You by coming to Your will. Now I come to You." And God said to Israel, "If you ever get away from Me," He didn't say one word about getting back to His will. He said, "Get back to Me, because you get back to Him, you'll take His orders then. You'll want to do what He wants you to do." You know that's why He wanted you in the first place. May I say this tonight? Jesus could save folks without you. God could build churches without you. God can win great victories without you, but God cannot be loved without you. Let's not get away from the purpose of our salvation. We were made to the praise of His glory. Listen, God didn't make you drive the bus route. God made you to praise Him, and because you love Him, you drive the bus route. God didn't make you to be a president of a Sunday school class or a teacher of a class. God redeemed you to love Him. He created a race and said, "I want love it. I want praise. I want honor. I want glory." And that race stumbled and fell. And the purpose of the incarnation, and the purpose of the perfect life, and the purpose of vicarious death,
And the purpose of the bodily resurrection
was to get you back to fellowship with your God. That's the purpose of it. Now, all these other things come. If you love Him, you obey Him. If you love Him, you serve Him. If you love Him, you speak to Him. But you try to get back to your service without getting back to your Savior, and you won't stay back to your service. You try to get back to the will of God without getting back to the God of the will, and you won't stay long in the will of God. All I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way you started in the first place. When you got saved, the preacher didn't stand up and say, "Come down this aisle and start a bus route." He didn't say that. He said, "Come down this aisle and receive Jesus." And you receive Jesus, and from His wounded side, every blessing of your life has come. And from that relationship you've had with Him has come everything you've done as far as your service for God is concerned. And God says, "Have you gotten away from Me?" He says, "You come back and start just like you started the first time." Don't misunderstand me. You don't have to get saved again. But if you get your restored to your former usefulness, you've got to get restored first to your former fellowship. That's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. "My people shall call My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face." That's it right there. You want to get back right with God? Humble yourself, pray, seek His face. That's it. Didn't say if you'll come back to My will, get back on your bus route. You'll do that later. But He said, "Now you need Me." This church is almost 97 years old. 97 years old next November. Or it's 97 now, maybe. But, yes, it's 97 now. This church is 97 years old. There are folks in this room been here 30, 35 years. Now, that doesn't make you a good Christian. Because you come every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, read your Bible, it doesn't make you a Christian. And if you want to get back where you used to be, you've got to get back to the foot of the cross. Kneel at the cross. He will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. And He says tonight, "Have you drifted from Me? Have you drifted from My purpose for your life? Don't try to seek the purpose. Seek Me. I'll take care of the purpose later. Don't try to seek your relationship or your influence you once had or the position you once had or the prestige you once had." He said, "You just come back to the Savior you once had. And let's go through the whole thing again." Like the colored preacher down south preached one night, and he came back home and he said to his wife, said, "Had a great service, bless God." Said, "Three got saved and four got rewound." And that's what you need to get rewound. And you get rewound the same way you got wound. You start off with a person. And that person is Jesus. Now listen to me. You listen to me. I'm not talking that just to young people, new converts and college people. I'm talking to folks 60 and 70 years old. I'm talking to folks tonight who've been saved for year after year. I'm talking to all of us. And God said, "If you want to come back, if out yonder in the future, Israel, you ever find yourself away from the will of God and you're outside the land and your testimony is gone, your influence is gone, and nobody has confidence in you anymore, and you've lost your opportunity." He said, "Don't come back to the opportunity. Out of My sick sin and into Thy life, opportunity I come to Thee. Out of My sin and into Thy life, influence I come to Thee." That's what you did. And that's why you didn't stick the next time, because you didn't come the second time like you came the first time. And the song says, "Out of My darkness, into Thy life, Jesus, I come to Thee." And that's what you need tonight. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of Christians in this room tonight. You've tried to come back to everything but the person that can take care of it for you. You didn't get saved by joining the church and getting right with the church. You won't get back in the will of God by getting right with the church either. You didn't get saved by starting a bus route. You got saved by coming to a person, and you won't get back to usefulness. You come back to that person, same route you took before. Now, wait a minute. Then He tells us where to find Him. A while ago it said, I read this, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God." From thence? Where? From sin. But you say, "Preacher, where is He? And where can I find Him?" Right where you are. It took you many steps to get where you are. in sin. It'll take you one step to get back if you step toward Jesus. You know why? Because He's been following you. He's been on your track. As you took this step, He followed you. And this step, and everywhere you've been, and everywhere you are, you're just one kneeling from Jesus Christ. He's been following you. Many steps into sin, one step back. You say, preacher, I've tried to get back. Yeah, but you tried to get back with getting right with the church and not right with Jesus. You didn't come like a child and say, Jesus, I want to feel like I used to feel. Do you remember? Remember in the early days of your testimony? Remember? Remember how hard you worked for God? Remember how sweet Christianity was? And now it's, yeah, big deal, I've been saved all these years. You know all the cliches now. You know all the dogma now. You know all the doctrine now. And so you're a little bit too important, aren't you, to come back to the cross. You're a little too mature in the Lord. After all, no, you'll never get back. You hear me now. You will never get back to God until you come back to God first. And you'll never be restored from your backsliding until you come back to a person. You may not have your influence totally restored at first. You may not have your opportunities totally restored at first. You may not have your usefulness totally restored at first. You may not have the perfect will of God totally restored at first. But I'll guarantee you this. You may have total fellowship with God restored before you walk out those doors tonight. Total. Total. You come where you are, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to me. O Lamb of God, I come. You come where you are, because He's where you are. And He's followed you all these steps you've taken from His plan. And He stands ready to forgive you if you'll come back to Him. But see, you want to bypass Him and go around Him to get back where you were without coming like a sinner to the altar. You want to bypass the childlike renewal of fellowship in order to get back to a position or influence or opportunity. You don't do that. And you'll never get the influence back until you get the author of the influence back. And you'll never get the opportunity back till you get the one who makes the opportunity back. And you'll never get the will of God back till you get the one who opens the will of God to your back. And you'll never get back your prestige and the confidence of the people till you get back to the one who is the one who's prestigious and the one who's the confidence giver and the confidence builder. You first come to Him. This is why you fell again. Because you did not come back to Him. My time is gone. This is a big church. We've been here now together for over a quarter of a century. We know each other real well. Many of us have seen this church grow from a handful of people, it seems. Well, I can recall the early days I was here, the choir here has more people than we used to have in church on a Sunday night. We've been here a long time together. But let's never lose that sweet, childlike relationship we have with Jesus. He writes, the beloved John writes in the latter years of his ministry. He writes to Christians who turned the world upside down. He writes to Christians who've seen the Savior face to face. He writes to Christians who've seen the nails and nail prints in His hands and in His feet. He writes to Christians who've seen the scar of His side. He writes to Christians who had walked with Him and known Him personally. And He says, my little children. My mama went to heaven 6 months or so ago. You know what I missed the most? Being a boy. I miss having a mama's lap and a mama's knee. I miss my mama calling me Jack. don't you take her place and call me Jack, or you'll be stricken by lightning. But I miss it. I miss, son, is that coat heavy enough? Son, you didn't have your coat buttoned at the top. You're walking down the sidewalk. Son, are you getting enough rest? Oh, Mama, I'm no little child. But I am. But I was. I never want to become to my Savior, Dr. Jack Hyams. I never want to become to my Savior, Pastor Hyams. I want to always be the Jesus, Jackie boy. And I always want to feel that same excitement and thrill when I come to the cross and come to the throne of grace and look up in His face and say, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, Thou. Ever I love Thee. My Jesus, 'tis now." You need to get back to Him, don't you? I didn't say back to His will. I said back to His person. I didn't say back to His work. I said back to Him. Work will take care of itself. The will take care of itself. The influence will take care of itself. The opportunity will take care of itself. For from His precious wounded side, there flows all of those things and more. But the place you need to come tonight is back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. Back to Him. Like a child. And then you have all of it restored. Because He's the source of everything you once had and you long to regain. I've never been in deep sin. I almost did when I was a 17-year-old lad. The church folks began to pray for me, and I thought that was silly. I was always known as the best kid in the church. Other boys went to the ball game. I went prayer meeting with Mama. Wednesday night, everybody, other kids would gripe. I'd sit on the front row. I wanted to go to church. All the moms would say, their sons, "Why can't you be like Jackie boy? Go to church." They'd say, "Fooey, Mom, nobody wants Jackie Bob at church anyhow." But I grew up. On my 17th birthday, I weighed 92 pounds. That year, I grew to weigh 135, which is my present weight. Then there's the other leg we'll talk about after a while. But I grew. I grew from a little bit of short fellow to my present height, really, 5'11 3/4". I grew to that height. And all of a sudden, everything opened up to me. Girls that wouldn't look at me all of a sudden wanted to date me. And fellows that wouldn't even dial my number, all of a sudden they wanted me to be with them. And coaches that wouldn't even look at me and now asked me to come out for the sports teams. And everything opened to me. It was all new and shiny. I never took a drink, never went to deep sin at all, never even smoked a cigarette. But I got with the wrong crowd. And the church began to pray. People in the church began to pray for me. And I can recall a lady named Mrs. Skeeter, S-K-E-T-T-E-R. She came by one day and she said, Jackie boy, I'm praying for you. And I said, "Why pray for me?" She said, "Never mind, I'm praying for you." Miss Howard, our high school superintendent, was walked by the house one day. We lived across the street from the church. She stopped on the sidewalk while I was out mowing the yard. And she said, "Jackie boy, I just want you to know that Mr. Howard and I are praying for you." I said, "What for?" "I knew, just like you know." "I knew." "Me?" "I knew." And one night of it, one Sunday, I sat back there Sunday morning. And they were singing the invitation. And I knew God wanted back. And all of a sudden the choir began to sing. "Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden and answered my prayer. My anxious fears subsided. My spirit was made strong, and yes, Jesus took my burden and left me with a song." And I literally ran down to the altar and got on my knees. I didn't shake the preacher's hand. I didn't want the preacher's hand. I wanted the hand that had nail prints in it. I got on my knees and I said, "Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And you know, when I got back to Him, everything else fell in place too. He's what you need. And so tonight, if you're backslidden, When you want to come back, you come back to Him. And if tonight you're not backslidden, then you ever are, as saith the Lord, you come back to Him. To Him. To Him.